Good morning, everyone. My name is Miss Christine. Are you ready for stories and jokes? Do you want to learn about nuts with me? If you said yes, then I think you're listening to the right radio station. So let's get started. This book is called Peanut Picking by Patricia M. Stockland. Deep in the heart of the great, great grasslands, Milo the monkey sat scratching his head. He was lost. Home was neither close nor far, and although he wasn't afraid, the ground had just begun to rumble. "That's odd," Milo thought. "The trees never shake in the jungle." Milo waited to see what would happen. Then he saw clouds of dust blowing above a stand of trees. The monkey said. He went to get a better look. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Some elephants were walking in circles. Walking in circles helped the elephants think, and today they had an important problem to solve. One of the herd was missing again. It was Eddie, because it was always Eddie. Everyone knew that something had to be done about Eddie. "I say we forget about him forever," snorted Ella. Ella had a red polka-dot ribbon tied around the end of her trunk. "He's always missing. He can't stay in line, and his trunk doesn't work," she shouted. "But if we leave them behind," said Eloise, the oldest elephant, "we won't have enough elephants for peanut picking." "Duh," Ella said, smacking her trunk against Eloise's forehead. "His trunk doesn't work, so he can't pick peanuts." The other elephant stared at Eloise. Eloise stared back. She hadn't thought of that. But she did like Eddie, despite his strange, not-so-useful trunk. It didn't seem right to leave him, especially with a great summer peanut party only 1 week away. The elephants were still staring. As the oldest elephant, Eloise had to make a decision. "All right," she sighed. "We keep moving. We have to be mindful of the party." And with a humph and a great stomping of dust, the elephants were gone. Milo watched the elephants walk away. "How do you misplace an elephant?" he wondered. Milo decided to find Eddie. It couldn't be that hard to find an elephant. And perhaps there would be a reward of peanuts. Boom! Boombity boom boom! Before Milo even had a chance to stand up, the ground began rumbling again. Milo scooted toward a nearby termite mound just in time to miss being stepped on by none other than Eddie himself.
"Well, hello there," bellowed Eddie at the bewildered monkey. "I don't suppose you've seen a herd of elephants around here."
"Why, yes, I have," Milo replied. "Are you Eddie?"
"Absolutely I'm Eddie. How did you know?"
"Just a guess," Milo said. "I think the other elephants have gone on without you."
"Is that a fact?" asked Eddie. "I'm helping find peanuts for the summer peanut party. I wonder why they would leave without me."
"Well," Milo said, "I hate to spread gossip, but I heard them mention something about your trunk not exactly, being up to snuff."
"Oh."
At that, Eddie's floppy ears and trunk and every wrinkly wrinkle on his body seemed to droop. It was true, after all. His trunk didn't work. The other elephants never said anything about it to Eddie's face, but he knew they noticed. When it was time to trumpet, spray water, move branches, or pick peanuts, they always stared at Eddie.
"I have to get going," Eddie said to Milo, slowly turning around.
"Where are you going?" Milo asked.
"Who knows? Who cares?"
Eddie said, looking more droopy than ever. "Wait! I can help you," Milo shouted. "I think I know where they went, and who cares if your trunk doesn't work? There must be something else about you that's special. We'll show 'em." Eddie wasn't exactly convinced, but Milo seemed nice, and neither of them was very busy at the moment.
"Well, okay," Eddie said,
and off went the monkey and the elephant through the great, great grasslands toward the peanut patch. Just then, Milo and Eddie walked up to the patch. They were still trying to think of special things about Eddie. "Can you juggle?" Milo asked.
"No," said Eddie.
"Tell the future?"
"No."
"Tap dance. Do a somersault. Knit a scarf." But the answer was always no, no, no.
When Eddie saw the other elephants inside the patch, he said, "Well, here we are with nothing special to report. What now?" The other elephants noticed Eddie, but they just rolled their eyes and went back to work. Eddie and Milo stood in place for a minute. They wondered what to do. Then they noticed a sign. Eddie read aloud, "Please don't pick the peanuts. They're poisonous. Apply water to anyone who's picked these poisonous peanuts." "What?" shouted Eddie.
"What?"
shouted Milo.
"The peanuts!" yelled Eddie. "I have to stop the picking."
"Eureka, that's it!" yelled Milo. "That's your something special. You can read."
Eddie didn't hear Milo. He had already dashed into the peanut patch.
"Eloise, Ella, everyone, stop picking. The peanuts are poisonous."
Just then, the elephants started to shake and quake. Some of them even rolled on the ground.
"Water, water!" Eddie shouted.
He ran to the hydrant, stomped on the hose, and began spraying the herd. Within minutes, the elephants were soaked. The peanut dust had washed away, along with all of the peanuts, but the elephants were safe.
"Is everyone okay?"
Eddie asked.
"I'm sorry about the mess, but the peanuts are poisonous."
"How did you know?" asked Ella, still shaking off water.
"He can read,"
Milo shouted.
"He read it on the sign."
Everyone stared at the monkey. Then they stared at Eddie. Eddie just shrugged.
"Why didn't you tell us?" asked Eloise.
"Thought it was just another thing that made me weird," answered Eddie. "Like when my trunk doesn't work and I can't stand in line and I keep getting lost."
"Well," Ella answered, "maybe those things aren't bad after all. Let's get out of here and find another peanut patch."
"I think I know where one is," answered Eddie. "I found it once when I was lost."
And with that, Eddie, Ella, Eloise, the other elephants, and Milo set off across the great, great grasslands. This time, no one felt lost. The end.
What a good book. How about we tell some jokes about nuts now?
Why did the fisherman put peanut butter into the sea?
To go with the jellyfish.
How do you make a peanut laugh?
You crack it up.
Which nut has bad allergies?
Cashew!
How do you catch an elephant?
Hide in the grass and make peanut sounds.
What do you call a peanut in a spacesuit?
An astronaut.
Did you hear the joke about the peanut butter?
I'm not telling you. You might spread it.
And do you know something else about peanut butter?
Did you know that November is National Peanut Butter Lovers Month?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that nuts are ripe in the autumn, which is just around now? In fact, if you look outside, you may even see a walnut tree with big green balls on them, sort of like tennis balls. And inside of those, there are walnuts. But don't just peel off the green and eat them. They need to be prepared properly first. Did you know that some people are allergic to nuts? That means that their body does not like nuts. So if they accidentally eat some, their body will do some scary things, like itch, or they might have trouble breathing. And if you see someone having an allergic reaction to nuts, get an adult right away. Did you know that the peanut is the only nut that is grown underground? The rest of them, like pecans and walnuts and almonds and cashews, grow up in trees. Did you also know that there is a word called arachibutyrophobia, which is a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth? So today we've learned a lot about nuts, and particularly peanuts. Can you tell me which letter peanuts starts with? That's right, the letter P. Now we're going to read a book, and it has a lot of words that start with P. And whenever you hear one, I'd like you to raise a body part. You can raise a hand, or an arm, or a foot, or even your head. Whichever you like, and I expect you to be tired by the time we're done, okay?
This book is called Princess Prunella and the Purple Peanut by Margaret Atwood. Princess Prunella lived in a pink palace with her pin-headed parents, Princess Patty and Prince Peter, her three plump pussycats, Patience, Prue, and Pringle, and her puppy dog, Pug. Princess Prunella was proud, prissy, and pretty, and unhappily very spoiled.
She would never pick up her playthings, plump her pillows, or put away her pens, pencils, and puzzles. Instead, after her breakfast of prunes and porridge, and her pineapple and passion fruit punch, presented in a copper cup painted with porpoises and spiders, she would parade around all day in puffy petticoats sprinkled with sparkling pink sequins, a peculiar pilly polo-necked pullover, a pair of pale purple pumps with peonies on the insteps, and a pinafore printed with pansies and petunias slurping peppermints and peering in her dimples in a pocket mirror. "Ah, I am perfectly pretty," she would say. "When I grow up, I will marry a pin-headed prince with piles of pin money, who will praise me and pamper me and adore me as much as I do." She stepped on the tails of the plump pussycats, Patience, Prue, and Pringle.
"Pardon me," said Patience.
"You are not polite," said Prue. "Psst," said Pringle. "Oh, don't pester, you parasitical pipsqueaks," said Princess Prunella. "Pussycats are perverse, piddling, pointy-pawed, pie-faced pudding brains. They are not worth spit." She stomped on the paw of her puppy-dog Pug. "Pain! Pain!" howled Pug, his pupils protruding. "Stupid puppy!" snapped Prunella. "What a performance! Don't pretend to be in pain, and next time get out of my path!" One April day, a white-haired, wrinkly-wristed wise woman in a sparse but pristine pleated petticoat, paper slippers, and an imperfectly patched wrap, tapped at the door. Princess Prunella opened it because she was going out anyway, with her purse full of peppermints and spinning a parasol. "What do you want?" she snapped. "Please, Princess," said the wise woman, "I am just a poor person, but I have a piece of leftover porridge, or a peppermint, or a used prune, if you could spare one." "You are interrupting me," said Prunella. "Porridge and prunes and peppermints are for princesses. Poor people don't deserve any. So get away from this palace, you pathetic peasant pauper!" The wise woman was not pleased. "Appearances are deceptive," she said. "You are not pretty inside, just as I am not poor. I had heard you were spoiled and stuck up, but I preferred to see it for myself. Now I am going to put a spell on you. It will never disappear until you perform 3 good deeds." Then she waggled her white, wrinkly wrists and pronounced impressively, "Nippity-pippity-zeenut, let the princess sprout a peanut." "Pooh-pooh," said Prunella, tossing her long, perfectly permed hair, which had a pink primrose pinned in it. "I don't care a paltry particle." And she pushed the white-haired, wrinkly-wristed wise woman off the palace porch and pulled the door shut. But the next time she peeked into her pocket mirror, there was a purple peanut the size of a pea right on the tip of her nose. "How putrid," she said. "I am no longer perfect." And she began to weep. "Never mind, Prunella, my pet," said her pin-headed but practical parent, Princess Patty. "Purple peanuts are temporary. It will pop and disappear." But the next day, the purple peanut was still there. Now it was as big as a peach pit. Prunella put a plaster of puffballs and parsnips on it, but this did not work. She offered up a pepperoni and marzipan pizza, and some popcorn and pickles with a piece of pecan and pickerel pie for dessert to help her feel better. But this did not work either. "How impossible! This is worse than chicken pox or mumps. Now I will never marry a pin-headed prince with piles of pin money," she spouted. "What prince, however pin-headed, would want a princess with a purple peanut as big as a peach pit on her nose?" The 3 pussycats purred. "Serves you right for being a selfish pig," they said. Prunella wept herself to sleep with a pillow over her head. In the morning, the 3 plump pussycats poked and pinched Princess Prunella awake with their pointy paws. "We pity you," they whispered. "Your eyes are all pink and puffy, and that purple peanut is as big as a pumpkin. So we will remind you of what the white-haired, wrinkly-wisted wise woman said. Perform 3 good deeds, and your purple peanut will pop." "What are good deeds?" said Prunella. "You are a perverse, pie-faced pudding brain," said the 3 pussycats politely, patting pompously away on their polished paws.
You should have paid more attention.
Princess Prunella paced pensively across the Persian carpet, attempting to think up good deeds. She could not think of any, so she went out onto the patio with her parasol and her purse full of peppermints. "I have been a proud, presumptuous, and preoccupied princess," she announced, and a pearly teardrop plopped sopply onto her spotted pocket hanky. Then she perceived 5 parti-colored parrots pouncing on the petticoats, pettifores, and puce-colored pantaloons that Penny, the palace parlor maid, had pinned with pegs to the parapet. "If I don't prevent those pouncing parrots from pecking perforations in the petticoats, pinafores, and pantaloons, Penny will be up to her armpits in trouble," thought Prunella, so she prodded the parrots away with her parasol. The purple peanut grew smaller, but Princess Prunella did not notice, because she saw her prize puppy dog, Pug, being pursued by a poisonous puff pig. There was a large population of these, perennially prowling around among porcupines, partridges, and painted turtles in the nearby plantation of poplars and passion flowers.
"Pug, Pug, do not despair!" she cried and pelted after the puff pig as fast as she could go, picking up pebbles and propelling them at it with all her power. The petrified puff pig plopped down, and Prunella scooped up Pug, whose pulse was pounding and who was panting with panic, patted him, and fed him a peppermint. The purple peanut grew smaller, but Princess Prunella did not notice, because for once she was thinking about someone other than herself. Princess Prunella proceeded down the path towards the palace pond. There, while stepping around an apple sapling, she saw a pear-shaped, pin-headed prince about to plunge in among the plastic lily pads. "Prince! Prince!" she called. "Don't plunge! That pond is poisonous!" "You have preserved my life, princess," said the pear-shaped, pin-headed prince. "Your prudent personality is a praiseworthy and precious pearl. As princes go, I am practically a pauper, with almost no pin money, but when you are older, perhaps I might be prepared to propose."
"But surely that is not possible," said Prunella unhappily.
"Because of the purple peanut as big as a pumpkin on the tip of my nose," said Prunella, who had just remembered it.
"There is no purple peanut," said the prince, peering. And it was true. The purple peanut had disappeared. The plump pussycats perched in the pear tree, purring with rapture. Penny the palace parlor maid applauded, and the white-haired, wrinkly-wristed wise woman, who had been peering from behind a potted palm on the patio, pronounced her approval of Princess Prunella's 3 positive performances. Even the pin-headed parents, Princess Patty and Prince Peter, who had spoiled Prunella in the first place, were pleased. "It is an improvement to be with a person who is not peering into a pocket mirror all the time, especially at supper, when we are having pheasant pie with whipped turnip surprise and papaya paste, and parsnip pinwheels and parchment and pumpernickel pastries," they said. "It is more polite." And for once, although pin-headed, they were right. The end. So how many times did you raise your hand and arm and foot and head? Were there a lot of P-words in there? Well, now that you've raised them that many times, I think we're warmed up to dance to some music now, don't you?
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, "There goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt."
Na 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 na.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, "There goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt."
Na 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 na.
John Jacob
my teeth are very loose. My teeth are falling out. I'm always eating candy. There are 5 stuck in my mouth. When I eat chocolate, they start moving. When I eat corn, they get loose. About the only time they're not shaking is when I'm drinking juice.
They call me the green tooth monster. They say I'm very dumb. 'Cause all I ever like to eat is candy soda gum. They call me the green tooth monster. They say I'm very dumb. 'Cause all I ever like to eat is candy soda gum. And they tell me, brush your teeth every day, scrub that yucky plaque away. Brush your teeth every day, scrub that yucky plaque away.
My dentist got big glasses, searchlight and rubber gloves. He's got a mirror on a stick, a toothpick that he shoves. He says my teeth are rotten, but there's something that I can do. If I brush them and I floss them, I'll rid them of green goo.
They call me the green tooth monster. They say I'm very dumb. 'Cause all I ever like to eat is candy soda gum. They call me the green tooth monster. They say I'm very dumb. 'Cause all I ever like to eat is candy soda gum. And they tell me, brush your teeth every day, scrub that yucky plaque away. Brush your teeth every day, scrub that yucky plaque away.
Open wide!
Oh, no. My teeth are falling all over the floor.
Why that?
Oh, 'cause I didn't brush them.
Minor
thing. Should have flossed them.
Mm-hmm.
Are your teeth all right?
Mine are fine.
Really?
I brush.
Oh, I'm a mess. It's terrible.
You're a monster.
I know.
Yeah.
Hi.
One little fish swimming in the pool, swimming up and down.
And that's all we have today, folks. If you want to read more about nuts, why not visit your local library? They'll have all sorts of books to help you out. Anywho, this is Miss Christine signing off. I hope you'll join me next week at the same time. Bye!